Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for the day is Psalm 116, verses 1 through 3 and 10 through 17. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication. Because he has inclined his ears to me when I called upon him. The cords of death entangled me. The grip of the grave took hold of me. I came to grief and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah. A reading from the first letter of Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now on that same day, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road and while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. before I do this, I was just struck by the line in the first reading, for the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And I thought of us our being far away from each other, but not far away at all. Well, Luke alone describes the mysterious affair at Emmaus. Mark alludes to it, but only Luke tells the story. And he does so in such a way that one commentator has said that is one of his best sketches of a biblical scene. Another commentator says it's one of Luke's most exquisite literary achievements. How could we argue that point? Luke makes us feel as if we were present for these events. The chance encounter on the road, the outpouring of emotion and admiration of the stranger's knowledge and understanding, the poignant plea for him to stay with them at the end, the surprise of recognition, and finally, the sudden disappearance. Carl Jung wrote that the story is an example of the mythic dream theme of the magical traveling companion. I trust that the reference to myth and magic doesn't put you off. I find it immensely valuable as it reminds us that some of our most profound dreams seem as real as any events in our outer lives, and that some of the most powerful moments in our conscious lives are imbued with a dreamlike quality. Whatever we, or biblical scholars, or psychologists, or theologians might say, there is no denying that this biblical story is unique in its content and its impact. We read the story on this day, the third Sunday of Easter, once every 3 years. It is full of emotion, fear, wonder, disappointment, gratitude, love, joy, and hope. Maybe that's why so many artists through these 20 centuries have chosen to depict it in one medium or another. And now we get to do something I've wanted to do for the past 45 years, but I've never been able. Actually, I should say we get to try to do that. I hope it works. I've never had a projector and screen in the nave of a church. I never particularly wanted one. I've never had the technology to put an image in front of a congregation. About the closest I've ever come was my reproducing a Peanuts cartoon on poster board size frames in about a 1980 sermon in Illinois. It was something about the dangers of fundamentalism told by Schultz's character, Peppermint Patty. You may remember her, but I digress. Because of our current situation and the technology we're all learning and being forced to learn, I can, I believe, indeed show you a painting I've talked about almost every time this reading has come up in the lectionary. I first saw it while working on a paper in seminary. It was about the Holy Eucharist in art. I've mentioned it to you before, and I'm sure many of you have encountered it on your own. We were fortunate enough to see it, I think it's in the National Gallery in London. It's Caravaggio's Supper at Emmaus, painted in 1601. Here it is, but no, before that. I want to show you an earlier depiction of the Emmaus scene. This one, a relief carved in ivory in the late 9th or early 10th century. I've chosen it because in my minimal peek into the matter, it's the earliest piece I found. I'm sure there are indeed earlier ones. Okay, this is just a marvelous piece. It begins, if you talk about left to right being the beginning, it begins with an earlier part of the story. I don't know if I can get rid of all of you so I can show if I hit that. If I go off, just stay where you are and I'll rejoin the meeting. But I think this will... Nope. All right, here we go. Back again. You see, it's almost like a storyboard itself. and shows clearly two of the main events in this encounter. At the left, there's that conversation and prelude to the decision by the risen Christ to go to the end with the disciples. The text tells us he's making as if he's going to go along the road. So he's, I love the hands in this. Well, first, you see on the right, they're going to wind up in the end. But before that, here's Jesus with his hand pointing. He said, no, I'm going that way. And the traveler next to him saying, but, and that's just a classic positioning of the hand, making an emphatic point. But we'd like for you to come with you and hear with us, and here are the reasons for that. And then the third fellow saying, this way. Come this way with us into the inn. And the French artist that did this, and we think it's about 850, 900, made sure that we got that point by enlarging their hand so that we can see what they're doing. Then he says, oh, okay, I'll go into the inn with you. And there they are at table. And here's his hand in the classic sign of blessing. And their hands are open as if to receive both the bread and the blessing. I'm amazed at the artistry of this. Look at his face here compared to his face here. It is clear what the artist has done here. It's just a marvelous piece of work. And it is especially so when you consider that all of this is on a piece of ivory, 4.5 by 9.25 inches, right there. Now, Caravaggio, he's chosen a particular moment at the table. It seems to me to be an instant later than the moment in the ivory relief, than the moment in the inn at the ivory, in the ivory relief. It's the moment of recognition. Here, let me see if I can help you take a look at that. There it is. This is the thing that just knocked me off my feet when I was in seminary, and I was looking for, I had to do a paper on the Eucharist, so I thought, well, I'm going to look for it in art, in works of art. Well, it turns out that this is on a number of art critics' lists of maybe the 100 best art pieces of all time. Look at this. It was shocking because Caravaggio, this is 1660, depicted Jesus without a beard. But again, sort of using the time in which he was set. And you see, as I said, which moment it is. It's that moment of recognition. He's just held out his hand in blessing. And the character on the right, his arms akimbo, is a classic posture of what? Awe or surprise. The one on the left is coming up out of his seat. You can see. So he's amazed and unable to, well, keep his seat. Some critics have said that the man serving them, perhaps because he's not a believer himself, simply doesn't see what they see. Or maybe it's just going to take him a little longer. But what an amazing piece this is. I was wrong about the ivory piece. I didn't see it. We saw the Caravaggio in London. I wasn't aware until I was poking around on the internet, or I had known and forgotten, that Caravaggio did another painting of this scene 6 years later. So it was in 1666. And I'll show you that if I can get up there to it. Look at this. How much more subdued it is. And even though I said the same scene, I actually believe this is a nanosecond earlier than the other one. It's filled, I think, with anticipation rather than recognition or realization. I wonder why, with 6 years or more, 6 years more experience in life, Caravaggio decided to paint this scene in this way. I could probably give you a better idea if I decided to dive into historical and biographical material, but frankly, I didn't want to. I'd rather imagine that the somewhat more mature painter had come to some kind of appreciation for or wonder about anticipation as juxtaposed to realization. So much of our lives as Christians is about anticipation. Look how this fellow's leaning in. And Jesus' hand is not quite so upraised as it is in the other. And the serving people are still serving people. In its own right, it's a deeply moving painting. Less light, less contrast, less in a sense of everything, it seems, in terms of emotion. It looks to me like the continuation, the last bit, the continuation of that conversation on the road, the last bit of teaching before the big moment. Finally, in a second, I'd like to show you one more rendering of this scene, partly to show you how we continue to try to make sense of the story of Jesus, to find that story in our own lives and culture. I know nothing about this artist. I've deliberately remained ignorant of any details about him, or just that, his name, Joe Forkan, F-O-R-K-A-N, who has done a complete cycle of classical paintings using characters from one of my favorite movies, but it's one of those that I don't feel comfortable saying, oh, run out right now and get this on Netflix or whatever, because it's sort of like whatever state has recently adopted the motto. It's not for everybody, but I love it. It's called The Big Lebowski. And here's Forkan's painting of the Supper at Emmaus with John Goodman and Steve Buscemi. And I knew I was going to do this. The main character, the Big Lebowski, right there. My point in including it is to say that in this 1,000-plus span of years, we see attempts to do what Jesus did. I don't mean just showing us the scene of what Jesus did in this story told by Luke. I mean, more generally, doing what Jesus did by painting scenes with words in order to help his followers understand. More than that, to take into themselves the reality of God's love. In fact, we can add that to the dreams-like life and life-like dreams analogy I made earlier. Jesus did the same thing with parables, those stories that seemed like scenes out of the lives of his listeners, at the very same time they might have seemed like dreams that they had had. In terms of all of it, dream, story, painting, sculpture, we look for Jesus in our lives, often without even knowing that that's what we're doing, that that's who we're looking for. Sometimes it feels like tantalizing anticipation, sometimes like a sudden flash of recognition, sometimes like having a drink with friends at the bowling alley. In familiar and surprising circumstances, as we say in the prayers of the people, we find and are found by him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say together the Nicene Creed, but with the rest of you in your own homes and muted. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Two. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our presiding bishop, Michael, for our bishops, Andy, Jeff, Kay, and Hector, for our priest, Michael, for our missionary, Jeannie, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or help or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed, especially for Ginger Weaver, and for all who have died from the COVID-19. Pray for those who have died. I ask your prayers for John, Barry, Lloyd, Ann, Clay, Kay, Tyler, Shelley, Curtis, Cynthia, Vippa, the victims of child abuse, Jaden, James, Sharon, Mark, Barbara, Janice, Sharon, Leslie, Lottie, Villarreal, Susan, for Melissa, Nathan, Morgan, Victoria, Miranda, Bob, Richard, June, Karen, Lee, for Anne, Marcel, Jenny, Dee, Ellie, Jackie, Dale, Scott, Linda, Melissa, the Degater family, the women in the Hutto facility, and for Alan, Sarah, Christy, Lynn, Patty, Paul, Merle, Cheryl, Caitlin, Nathan Rear, Martha and Larry, Bonnie and Ed, Cherise, Allison, John, Mark, the Bailey family, Ashley, Matt, Teresa, and Kenyon. I ask your prayers for all who serve in the military, especially James, Gerard, Eric, Trevor, Kevin, Chris, Brian, Jonathan, and Brian, and all in harm's way. I ask your prayers for all who of necessity are traveling this week. I ask your prayers for all who mourn, especially the family of Sheila Wilson. I ask your thanksgiving for the birthday of Mark Milanovich, which is May the 2nd. And I invite your prayers and thanksgivings at this time.
And I'll unmute everyone if you wish to offer prayers aloud. Before I do that, more prayer requests that have come in are for Mihai, Luciana, Calvin, Petra, and Sarah. And now I'll allow you all to offer your own.
For the people keeping it going.
For our families.
The good health of our family. Yes.
Been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church. And give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.